Welcome to Talkin' Music. I'm Corey Stanton, and I'm with Americana singer-songwriter David Starr, who lives in Cedar Edge, Colorado. Thanks for being here, David.
Thanks for having me.
We're going to be hearing some of your new songs from your upcoming album, Beauty and Ruin, that comes out on February 21st, 2020. And we'll be talking about the inspiration behind the album, which comes from a book that was written by your grandfather.
Right.
Let's start the show with one of your new songs, then we'll come back and talk about Of What Was Nothing Left, written by your grandfather, Fred Starr. What are you going to start with?
Well, this is a song called Beauty and Ruin, the title cut. And actually, funny you should mention the book title, because that was going to be the name of the record. And I wrote this next song with my good friend Dana Cooper down in Nashville, and loved the way it came out. And I flew down to Nashville one day while the mixing process was going on, and John Oates, who's the producer on the project, he and my co-producer David Kalmuski had been working on the record all day, and I flew in and showed up at the studio, and I said, "How's it going, guys?" And they said, "What's going on? Great, everything sounds good, but we've also changed the title of the record to Beauty and Ruin." And I went, "Oh." So we sort of feel like this encapsulates the whole thing, and when we talk about the book, you'll see why. Two. I traveled far through the lonely wood, crawled when I had to, ran when I could. No way to know what I would find, beauty and ruin at the end of the line. This crooked road that I wound up on led me to you, now you're gone. A sky of blue turned cold and gray, beauty and ruin at the end of the day. Beauty in the sinking sun, the union of two lonely ones together in the dark. Ruin in the breaking dawn, unforgiving light falls on two hearts torn apart. I hear the story of a face grown old, see the faded glory of a dying rose, savor the sweet and bitter wine. Yours and you are mine. We were like wisps in the winds of chance. We'd fall and twist, we'd spin and dance. You spoke to me in words that rhyme, beauty and ruin forever entwined, beauty and ruin at the end of the line.
That was Beauty and Ruin, the title track off of David Starr's upcoming album. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to Talkin' Music on KBNF. I'm Corey Stanton, and I'm joined by musician, singer-songwriter David Starr here in the Bamboo Room at KBNF. Your new album is inspired by your grandfather's book, Of What Was, Nothing Is Left.
Yes.
Talk to me about the overall inspiration and maybe something that no one else knows.
Well, a little quick background. I knew my grandfather well up until his passing. I was about 16 when he died. The book was published in 72, and he died the next year, kind of suddenly. So when I was young, I never read these books he wrote. He wrote a number of them, seven or eight books. The early ones, and I've found one as early as 1948, that's a little pocket-sized book of sort of almost daily affirmation, folk tale kinds of things. You know, he was an observer of people, and he's the kind of guy that if you were sitting having coffee every morning for a year, he's writing everything down, and he's going to use it somehow to talk about the people in the community, and not as a tell-all or anything, but just human nature kinds of stuff. So really interesting stuff, but I never really read it. He was a columnist for the Tulsa World, Northwest Arkansas Times, and a number of syndicated, you know, he was syndicated in a lot of papers around that part of the country. I didn't know much of that. I mean, I was aware of it, but I didn't pay much attention because I was too busy being a kid, you know?
Yeah.
But he taught me how to ride horses. He taught me how to ride Shetland ponies, or rather, how to break them so that you could ride them. And that was a character-building experience because they're mean horses. Well, they are. Anyway, so we spent a lot of time together, but I never read these books. Years later, I read this particular book, and it was his last book, and I knew it was a novel, so I was a little more interested in that. Once I read it, I thought, man, this is so lyrical, and there's such good material in here. So I went to my friend John Oates, who I'd worked with some before, and I gave him a copy of the book. He said, what do you want me to do with this? And I said, I want you to read it, and you tell me if there are songs in there. About 3 days later, he calls me and said, this is awesome. What do you want to do? And I said, I want to give this book to some songwriters, have everyone read it, and then come back with either song ideas or full songs or, you know, any of the above. So that was kind of the idea. And he called it a concept album, and I guess that's what it is, you know, because it's all built around the book.
Yeah, and I would call it a collaborative album.
Well, that's, you know, and maybe it could happen anywhere, but it almost couldn't happen anywhere but Nashville in a way, because the person that helped me reprint the book, that helped me retype the book, that helped me design the new book cover, all those people were referred by people in the Nashville community down there. And there's just so much in the way of resources. And yeah, all the songwriters immediately wrote back and said, I want to be in on this. So
cool.
Yeah, it's, I don't know, if it all stopped right now, this would be my project, you know, because I'm just so proud of it and it felt so good to get it done.
Yeah.
And I think I've honored him, you know, after all these years by doing it.
I love that he was a writer and that his novel is now transpired into your album.
Yeah. One of the things that happened during the making of this is we were listening, and John Oates has been quoted as saying he feels like this has a cinematic sort of feel to it. And he turned around at one point, I was sitting on a sofa in the control room, and he turned around from the console and he said, this has got to be a movie or a play or something.
Yeah.
So we actually have someone writing a script that we'll see if we can do anything with it. Who knows?
Well, that's exciting either way.
Yeah, I'm excited.
In the foreword of your grandfather's book, you write, inspiration is truly a phantom. You never know when or even if it will appear. What was your aha moment when you realized that this book was going to inspire this album?
Well, so much of my songwriting, and I suspect this is true for other songwriters or poets or, you know, anybody that's a creative, a lot of it comes from your own head. You know, I get stuck in my own head and I think, I've already written about that. And I read that book and I thought, this is a path to a whole creative thing that's not me. It's outside of me. But along the way, what I found was I could take his situation or his place in time or his characters and I made them my own and infused them with my own stuff. It's like the DNA gets all sort of mixed in there. It was a beautiful process. And he's got all these other books, and I'm wondering if I shouldn't do it again, you know, on some, maybe not exactly the same way, but it was a good exercise, I think, for everybody involved. And a couple of the songs sort of found their way into the book along the way.
Yeah, cool. So, I love it. Well, let's do another song.
Okay.
What else do you have for us?
This one's called Rise Up Again, and this is, as I mentioned a second ago, this is one of the ones that didn't come directly out of the book but found its way into the book. In August of 2018, my stomach hurt for a day, and then it hurt for another day, and then I let that go another day, and I finally went to the emergency room, and they said, you're really sick, and you got to have surgery. And so while I was in the hospital, I had this very vivid dream, probably had something to do with all the, you know, the pain medication and all that sort of thing, but I was terrified of this thing because it was a big deal, and I don't get sick. I've had a really good run right up until that. But I had this dream, and in the dream, my father, and my grandfather, both, you know, that side of the family, were in this dream. And my grandfather, he was speaking in poetry. And it didn't make sense. It could have been roses are red, violets are blue, but it was that sort of a cadence, you know. And things seemed to rhyme, and I don't remember what he was saying. But there was also this thing swirling around his head that looked almost like a hologram, and it was like words, just this word soup. And he was doing that, and then standing next to him was my father, who was unable to speak. My father died of Alzheimer's, and towards the end, he couldn't find words. It was really difficult, and you could tell he was looking for him, but he just couldn't find him. So I woke up from that and went, what's that about, you know? Had the surgery, tried to write all this stuff down, and I wrote it, and I sent it to Oates, and he wrote back, and he said, can I make some changes? And I said, it's my dream. And he said, I know that. Just give me liberty with it just a little bit. And he did, and it shifted it in a little less ominous direction. And what I came out of it ultimately feeling like is that it just wasn't my time. As serious as that medical thing was, it just wasn't time for me to go. And that's what they were there telling me in that dream. And you could imagine that I was relieved about that.
Yeah.
So.
Well, us too.
Yeah, thanks. Otherwise, I wouldn't be here. So this is called Rise Up Again. My father and his father came to me at night as I tossed my head on a fever bed, praying for the light. The elder spoke in poetry, words dancing round his head. And a younger said, you see, I was cut down and I was running at full speed, thinking everything I wanted was everything I'd need, betting I was faster than any wicked wind that blew my way. You will rise up, you will go on. It's not your time, it's just one more storm. We are lightly scattered to the wind. You will rise up. Rise up again, rise. Those who've gone before me spoke to me in dreams, telling me my race is not yet run. Their faces lost to history, circumstance and mystery, fading names and places gone to time. For those who were cut down, running at full speed, believing that their destiny was wholly heavenly, betting they were faster than any wicked wind that blew their way. You will rise up, you will go on. It's not your time, it's just one more storm. Though we're lightly scattered to wind, we'll rise up again, rise. Like a wild horse in a shadow box, waiting for the sun, I'll dream till my day comes around. And this crooked world won't beat me till I'm truly done. I'm not ready for the burying ground. You will rise up, you will go on. It's not your time, it's just one more storm. Though we're lightly scattered to the wind, you will rise up again. Rise.
That was Rise Up Again, a song off of David Starr's upcoming album called Beauty and Ruin. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to Talkin' Music on KVNF. I'm Corey Stanton, and I'm in the Bamboo Room here at KVNF in Paonia with musician David Starr. To me, that song and the way you just performed it, the word that kept coming up was powerful. I'm curious how you feel singing that.
It hit me really hard the first time I did it, like almost couldn't get through it. And I wasn't expecting that, you know. But I've had people come up and tell me, and this is real gratifying. Somebody came up and said it sounds like it was an anthem for them. You know, it's funny because people will say, what's that song about? And I go, oh, no, you tell me what it's about. What's it about to you? And this one could be, you know, it could be a lot of things to a lot of people. But for me, it takes me back to that moment, and I can see him in that dream. And it was very vivid and very intense. And so when John helped me finish it, I saw what he was doing. And there's a theme in this book, and it is destiny. And I use that word somewhere in another song. I forget which one, but it was my destiny to get sick. It was my destiny to move to Cedar Edge when I did it. All these things, they sort of work out the way they're supposed to. If things hadn't gone the way they did, you wouldn't be where you are. And so I guess I'm grateful that the whole thing happened. Put me in touch with mortality a little bit better. And I don't want to get too intense, but it's a powerful song to me.
Yeah. Well, thank you for sharing it with
thank
us.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Sure.
Where did you record this album?
There's a studio in Nashville called Addiction Sound Studios, and it's one that John Oates turned me on to several years ago, and we started working together down there. It's owned by Jonathan Kane, who plays keyboards with Journey.
Nice.
Yeah. And I've never met John Kane, but there's a parking space that says not to park there because it's his, so we don't. But David Kalmuski runs it for him. John Kane lives in Florida, I think, most of the time when he's not touring with Journey. But it's a wonderful studio, and it's got a lot of old analog gear, and it's just a great vibe. And Oates picks these great players, and I just show up and sing and then play guitar parts. And it's, I don't know, I'm pinching myself because to get to work with somebody like Oates, who's sold as many records as he has, and he's still out touring with Hall & Oates and has his own really, really good, solid solo career, I just look around and go, man, what am I doing here, you know? But it's raised my game to be around those people and to be around him and to write songs with him like that one. And his arranging chops are amazing. He'll take something that I've written and go, you know, if we do this and this and this, you know. But it helps to be in a studio like that where the environment's real nurturing. And Nashville's full of great studios. I've got a good home studio, but I never go in it. I don't know. When somebody else is pushing the buttons, it's just more fun.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
I'll give Jeff a shout out real quick. Thanks, Jeff.
Thank you, Jeff.
How much time do you spend in Colorado?
Quite a bit, really. But these trips I make are not really very long ones. You know, I'll go out for 4 or 5 days or a week at the most. I have a little place in Nashville that's about the size of this room that I got a few years ago. So I have a kind of a home base down there. I'm very, very fortunate. And up until just a few days ago, I've had Shelley that manages my guitar store. I mean, there's a song on the album that she and I wrote called Cracks of Time, which we're real proud of.
Can we hear that one?
Well, yeah. This one's called Cracks of Time, and I wrote it with my good friend Shelley Ray over at Cedar Edge. You did not ask to be dealt this hand. Their lies fell firmly on your shoulder, a burden undeserved by an innocent man, left hesitant and lonely in a world so cold. Now you're living in these cracks of time, where day runs into night, heartache blurs a line between what's right and what's wrong, who's left and who's gone, living in these cracks of time. Broken on the wheel of circumstance, you set your own soul free. Those of us who loved you, brought you to this dance, could not stop that soundless second like it was meant to be. Now you're living in these cracks of
day runs into night, and heartache blurs the line between what's right and what's wrong, who's left and who's gone, living in these cracks of time. No angels marching hand in hand, no mandolins to play you home. You had to run your last mistake, those left behind must carry on. Carry on without your song. Living in these cracks of time, but day runs into night, and your heartache blurs the line between what's right and what's wrong, who's left and who's gone. Where every step you take is the scene of the crime. Living in these cracks of time, living in these cracks of time.
That was a song called Cracks of Time by David Starr off his upcoming album, Beauty and Ruin. We are in the studio here at KBNF. I'm Corey Stanton. We're talking about David Starr's new album. And, you know, one of the things that I love about you is how you are so supportive of other musicians. Mm-hmm. And this comes up all the time. Like, I just was talking to a friend here in Paonia about you, and he's like, oh, I love that guy, and I love his guitar store. And, you know, it just comes up often that people speak very highly of you and that you're very supportive.
Thank you.
Is there someone in your life that has been really supportive throughout your musical journey?
Well, my mom, you know, my brother and I both wanted to play instruments when we were kids, and there was a neat little guitar store in our hometown in Fayetteville, Arkansas. And he was 3 years older and started taking guitar lessons, and of course I said, I want to do something, you know. So they bought me a drum set, and the only flaw with that whole plan was that my room was above their room. As I recall, we built on soon after that, and there was a second sort of out, almost like a guest house that was built, and my older brother lived up there, and then all our gear was downstairs, and we both had bands, and they practiced. And but, you know, I just think we're supposed to look after each other, and I mean, look at where I am right now. I've got a guy like John Oates who's in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and, you know, I grew up watching the guy on TV. You know, he's sending me supportive text messages while this record's getting put together. He doesn't have to do that. He's got other stuff to do, but he's kind and he's paying it forward, and I think it's important to do the same thing. When people come in the store, they need to leave there feeling better than they came in. The most rewarding thing for me in that store is when a family comes in and you can maybe sense that they don't have a lot of money to spend on an instrument, but they want to help this kid get started. It doesn't matter what they want to spend. Let's find some way to send them home with something. Because that kid could change the world, because that's what music's about, you know. And that sounds kind of hokey, but I believe it.
I got chills.
Well, it's true. You guys do it over here. And I get to go to a lot of public radio stations here and in Europe and England, and this is as good as it gets, you know. But the vibe in all these places is the same. Everybody's here for the same reason. That's to advance the community and the cause of music and community and all that, you know. So.
Yeah.
I just want to leave it better than I found it.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Well, David, where can our listeners find your music and stay up to date on tour dates?
They can go to davidstarrmusic.com. The music's all over Spotify and Amazon and Apple Music and all those kinds of places. And the book will be available at David Starr Music as well. And it'll probably be all this stuff will be available at Starr's Guitar's website as well. And, of course, you can listen to KVNF and hear it.
Yeah. Do you have one more song for us?
I do. This is the most recent one to be released as a single. This is the final one before the album comes out here in a couple of weeks. It's called Road to Jubilee, and this is a good example of writing from the book, because one of the first things John Oates called me, he said, I get Jubilee. I said, what do you mean? He said, there's a town in the book called Jubilee. He said, that's mine. So people did that. They said, I got dibs on that idea or that thing, you know, that place in the book. So he and I enlisted Jim Lauderdale, who's a great guy down in Nashville and super popular Americana cat, and I'd never met him, but he and John wrote a lot together, so we spent a whole day working on this song and really didn't finish it because there were a lot of laughs and lunch, and, you know, we just had a great time, but John came back, sort of put it together for us, and so this is written by myself and John Oates and Jim Lauderdale. It's called Road to Jubilee.
I dream about the big house by the side of Laurel Creek. We're sitting there in a rocking chair with the children at our feet. We got a dog called Music and a mule to ride to town. That's all I ever wanted if I ever settled down. When a boy from Texarkana met a girl to take his name, thought the love they made and the vows they gave always would remain. Was a garden full of thorns, but the roses smelled so sweet. What was bound together was bound to break at the hands of love's deceit. On the road to Jubilee, take me back in time before I left for Tennessee, living on memories. On the road to Jubilee, I keep a picture in my mind, and I'm counting down the days till they set me free, till I'm walking down the road to Jubilee. Now it's dark and cold and lonely inside these prison walls, and I'm not to blame for a dead man's crime, but still I took the fall. I've lost so many hours that I know I'll never find, till I count the days, till I walk away, leave this song behind. On the road to Jubilee, take me back in time, before I left for Tennessee, living on memories. On the road to Jubilee, I keep a picture in my mind, and I'm counting down the days till they set me free. Across the cotton fields, I hear the church bells. In the spring, bringing me back again, bringing me back again. On the road to Jubilee, take me back in time before I left for Tennessee, living on memory. Road to Jubilee, I keep a picture in my mind, and I'm counting down the days till they set me free. Yeah, walking down the road, walking down the road, walking down the road to Jubilee. Yeah, walking down the road, walking down the road, walking down the road. Take me back in time. Oh, Jubilee. Yeah, Jubilee. Oh, Jubilee.
That was Road to Jubilee off of David Starr's new album, Beauty and Ruin. David, thank you so much for coming down to KBNF.
Thank you so much for having me, and thanks for doing what you guys do over here.
Yeah. You've been listening to Talkin' Music on KBNF. I'm Corey Stanton. Visit kbnf.org for more Talkin' Music programs and for a direct link to David Starr's new album, Beauty and Ruin. And be sure to tune in to KBNF on Saturday, February 15th, around 7 p.m. for a live broadcast of David Starr's sold-out CD release party and concert. Thank you for listening.